But this morning we're going to continue our series called Our Life. And it's basically the way we live our life. And I'm going to tell you something. One of the greatest things we do is we imitate the Father in the way we live. Amen. And one of the things the Lord is a giver.
Amen.
But what God is what?
He
is a giver, but let's go back to the scripture that I'm thinking of. And everybody knows God, and you know, everybody loves to quote it. God is love. God is love. And I'm going to tell you something. You don't give like God until you love like God. You got to love like the Lord before you can really give like the Lord. Because I'll tell you something. If you don't got the love of God in your heart, you ain't a giver at all. You're stingy. You're stingy. Have you ever seen kids? They don't come out giving their toys to everybody. They don't share their toys. You got to tell them, we share. I have to talk to my daughter before kids come over. Nobody's going to leave with your toys. If they do, we will arrest them. No, I'm just kidding. I don't say that. They're not going to leave with your toys. You're going to have to. So you give and you share. And I have to remind her. You want to know why I have to remind her? Because she may punch them. She hasn't done that. But I wouldn't put it a pastor. Why? Because she is a kid. She hasn't grown up. That's the way they are. They're not born to share. They have to learn. They have to get the love of God on the inside of them and curb natural law, the natural way that they want to be. Because the world will tell you, get all you can, put it in a can, sit on the can, and don't give any of it away. That's what the world will say. But God tells us that there is a way of hoarding that leads to our destruction.
That's right.
And he tried to teach the children of Israel when they were in the desert. And he said, now manna, when you get the manna, you only get enough for that day. Leave the rest of it alone. And what did people do? They started getting more than they needed. They got more than they need. Even though God rated, you think you would obey the Lord with an obvious miracle falling in your yard. You wake up in the morning, stretch. Oh, look at that. It's raining food. Let's go pick some up. The Lord told us this would happen. No, Ellie. Put that back. God said, only enough for today. Only enough for today. But what did the people do? They stored up more than enough. They began to hoard it up. And what happened? Worms began to eat that mess. There is a way of the Lord that does not make sense to the world. Doesn't make sense to them. And that way will lead to your destruction. You know something else I was thinking of yesterday? I was driving through some nice homes, right? And I saw this beautiful home. Humongous home. I mean, it was spectacular. I actually went on Zillow.com just to see how much it was, you know, what they rated it at. And we're talking a couple million dollar home. I looked at it and said, Lord, this is beautiful. And you want to know what I heard on the inside of me? It will all burn. It's going to burn to the ground. Everything. Even the Colosseums that we have had around for hundreds, if not thousands of years, it will burn. Somebody asked me, do you believe in global warming? Yes. Absolutely. God says he will destroy the world by fire, and you don't get warmer than that. Brimstone, it's all coming from the sky. It's going to hit the earth, and this earth will be destroyed. And I begin to think, what will be left? Will there be anything left? Because when God does something, he does it right. He does it better than any of us could. Will there be anything? Will this earth be just a ball of lava floating in the sky? Or will it dissipate and disintegrate into nothing? This is the way my brain thinks. I think of this stuff on a regular basis. It can be. It can be scary. You might not want to get up in this. But I think differently than most people, which is fine because I like the way I think. I think most people are boring in their thought life. And mine is very creative. Or at least it is to me. And so this morning we're going to be speaking on the subject of the spirit of manna. Mammon. I said manna because I talked about manna falling from the sky. Mammon. The spirit of mammon. And if you don't think mammon is a spirit, it will talk to you. And we will get into that. Let's turn in our Bibles to Matthew chapter 6. And then we're going to go to Luke chapter 16. But we're going to be dealing with the subject of giving. We're going to be dealing with the subject of tithe and offerings. But I was telling somebody not too long ago, actually this morning, I said, you know, I think this is the hardest I've ever preached, most direct I've ever taught on giving, tithe, and offering. I think it's the most direct. But I said, you know what got me there? Too many people not being direct enough. I'm sick of the church being too wishy-washy. I hate when you ask a leader in the church, well, what does the Bible say about this? And their response is, well, what do you think it says? What would you like it to say? Who cares? cares what I want. I want what God wants. I need to learn Him. My wants and desires need to go out the window, and God's wants and desires need to get on the inside of me. And if my wants to contradict His, I need to crucify, axe it off, kill it. Thank you. I think I will. Matthew chapter 6, are you there? Now, mammon, I have preached in the past that mammon is money. Now, I want to tell you something. I wasn't wrong. I just wasn't 100% right. Okay? Yes, it includes money, but that's not what it is. I think we'll find a better definition for it. And this comes into me breaking it down, going back. If you were in Sunday school this morning, we talked about using the Strong's and going all the way back and looking at the root words. And mammon actually is only mentioned 4 times in the Bible, 3 times by God. And one of those times is a parallel scripture. So God said it once, but we got it recorded twice. So out of all the Bible, mammon is mentioned 4 times. And so let's read our scripture, Matthew chapter 6 and verse 24. No man can serve 2 masters. Oh man, I almost feel like having old time church. I know not. You wasn't raised in old time church. Okay, you were. You were raised in old time church. I feel like I could hoop a little bit. If you don't know what a hoop is, don't worry about it. Demonstrate. No, I am not going to demonstrate. I'll scare half of you people. Now, so anyway, Matthew chapter 6 and 24. No man can serve 2 masters, for he will either hate one and love the other, or else he will hold to one and despise the other. Children prove this all the time. Mommy, can I have this? No. Daddy, can I have this? Yeah. Oh, wait, Mama said no? No. But Daddy, and they'll love one and hate the other. They'll hold on to one and forget the other. And when they get in trouble, they'll run to the other one. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they'll run to the other one. They learn quickly how to use each other. Oh, yeah. It's amazing. But, people do this. They will love one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. You can't serve both. Oh, that's interesting. That is interesting. Can I tell you something? Mammon is a liar. It is a liar. Mammon will try to take the place of God. It will try to take the place of God. And we're going to get into it. But I believe it is one of the spirits, part of the spirit of the Antichrist is mammon. I want to read. Let's turn to Luke chapter 9. Now this is the parallel passage. And we're going to Luke chapter 16 and verse 9. Sorry about that. Luke 16 and verse 9. It's a parallel scripture here. And we're going to read it more in detail. If you're there, say amen. Okay. And I say unto you, make to yourself friends of mammon, of the mammon of unrighteousness, that when ye fail, they may receive unto you everlasting habitation. Now, this is a weird scripture to me. When I first read that, it seems like the Bible's telling us to make friends with unrighteous money. Unrighteous finances. That's what it seems like. But this is what it's telling us. Let's look at it a little different. Make yourself friends. Stop right there. Do you know that there is no punctuation in the original Word of God? There's no punctuation. We put punctuation in there. And sometimes we put commas in the wrong places. We put commas in the wrong places that make us think, oh, okay, I see like confusion. Let me give you an example of this. When the enemy comes in, this is the way the Bible tells us. When the enemy comes in, comma. Like a flood. Oh, excuse me. I'm saying it the right way. I need to say it the wrong way first. Yeah, right. When the enemy comes in like a flood, comma. That's the way the people who interpreted the Bible, that's where they put the comma. Wrong place. Because it puts the flood with the enemy. It puts the flood with the enemy. It says, they're trying to make it sound like when the enemy comes in like a flood, yep, God will raise up a standard against him. Nope, wrong comma. When the enemy comes in, comma, like a flood, God will raise up the standard. The flood's not against you, it's against the enemy. And so there's no punctuation. So sometimes we read it and we put the wrong interpretation. We are hearing the right thing, but there's a little bit of static. And all we got to do is fine-tune it a little bit and hear it clearly. And it says, and I say unto you, make yourself friends. Comma, you need friends. You need godly friends. Okay, of the unrighteous man, can I tell you something else? Of is not even in the Hebrew language. We put that in there so we can understand it. Okay. Do you know that in your Bible, if you have a paper Bible, and all of a sudden it is italicized, it means it's not there.
Yes, that's right.
The word means it's not even there. That word is not in Hebrew. What it is in English. They're trying to give you extra words so that we can understand it. Because we don't speak Hebrew. So if the words are italicized, they're not there. Of is not there. But anyway, make yourself friends of the mammon of unrighteousness. So basically, you need good godly friends because mammon, unrighteous mammon, that when we fail, in other words, when you die, when your body, when you leave this body, you will fail. It will cease to exist. That they may receive you in everlasting habitation. Can I tell you this? What's the only thing we're going to be able to bring to heaven? Our souls, other people's souls. That's all we're going to be able to bring. Do you know that you're saved because somebody else gave? Somebody else did something? Yes, yes, yes. Whether it was a Billy Graham crusade, whether it was Mama and Daddy, whether it was Great Aunt Pookie, I don't know who it was that got you saved. But some way you got saved. It might have been a missionary, an evangelist coming into town, and somebody paid his way. Someone gave unrighteous mammon, right? Somebody, there was some unrighteous mammon. There was money, finances, wealth that came into the kingdom of God so that you could hear the message of God. And when you go into everlasting habitation, there will be those friends that you brought with you that will seek you out and say, thank you. Thank you. Have you ever heard that song? Thank you. I'm not going to sing. Don't worry. But it goes, thank you for giving. Thank you for giving. And it continues to say that I came to the Lord because of what you done. And you gave your life. You gave so that I could walk into the kingdom of God. Can I tell you, there's nobody coming to the kingdom of God unless there was somebody who gave. Jesus was the first one, and he gave his life so that we could come into God's kingdom. And it tells us that as we do, as we come into his kingdom, we have somebody to thank. We have friends who did some. Some of you have never even met the friends. There's some of you that gave to missionaries overseas, and you'll have people from other nations hunt you down in the kingdom of God. There may be the first billion earth years in heaven. Maybe just us all walking around thanking each other. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Grandma. Thank you. Thank you, great so-and-so. Thank you for living the life before my parents and living the life before their parents and living the life before theirs. And thank you, so-and-so, who got my great, 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 as many greats as we could count back, granddaddy saved. Thank you. Because it affected my life. Let's continue to read. Woo! Man, I feel good. Y'all feel good? The Word of God, if it doesn't crank your tractor, if it doesn't catch your wood on fire, it's wet. Whew. All right, in verse 10, he that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unfaithful in the least is unfaithful also in much. If therefore ye have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? Can I give you a little hint what true riches is? People. Souls. People's lives are true riches. Mom and daddy, you got some kids? That's the greatest riches on the face of the earth. Being able to guide and direct those into the kingdom of God and watching them walk out much earlier than you did and trying to get the knowledge that you have on inside of them at such an early age so they can go beyond you. Yes. They can affect the world more than you did. Yes. Oh, my Lord, they are our true riches. Kids, people are our true riches. Verse 12, and if ye have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Jesus tells us we cannot serve God and mammon. So you know what? We better know what mammon is. We better ask some questions about mammon and get some answers about it. Because if we can't serve both of them, then we better learn what it is. I believe that there are people trying to serve both mammon and God at the same time. They're trying. But the end result will be they will love one and hate the other. Right. I'm so glad y'all are with me this morning. What is mammon? Now, the Greek word, I want to read to you the Greek word. Are y'all ready? And this is a southerner pronouncing Greek. All right? So it might have, you know, the original Greeks might not have had this twang on it, but it's pretty close. they'd recognize what I'm saying, I believe. Okay, so it's an Aramaic word that comes from, well, we'll get into where it's from, but it's makmunos. Let's try that one more time. Mamunos. Manunos. It sounds like a good song. Manunos. Okay, never mind. It means, the definition of it is riches or wealth. So it does include money, but that's not it. That's not it. It can be a lot of things. It can be prestige. It could be that bass boat. Oh, Lord. It could be that, you know, it could be a lot of things. It could be, all right, ladies, I see some of the ladies laughing. It could be that purse. Oh, those shoes. Oh, hurt me. It can be a lot of things. It is whatever is wealth. All right. But it comes from a couple words, and we'll break it down into its roots. But this word comes out of Syria. It comes out of Syria, which is where modern-day Babylon was. It came out of Babylon. There was a god in Babylon whose name was Mammon. It was Mammon. There was a god named Mammon. Now, where did Babylon come from? I'll slow it down, and I believe you'll get it. Babylon. Tower of Babel. Look at my little Bible scholars. It was from the Tower of Babel. Let's talk about the Tower of Babel for a moment. What is the Tower of Babel? It is confusion. That word means confusion. Absolutely. Babel. To Babel. Confusion. Tell me about the Tower of Babel. Come on. I know. All one language. It was when the world was one language. And we were trying to do what? As humans. We were trying to reach God. But the crazy thing is, in the beginning, God told us how to reach Him. He told us how. Can I tell you something? They had the same heart of Cain. They had the exact same heart. Cain and Abel, they had the same heart of Cain. Jude tells us that Cain was greedy. Cain was greedy. He wanted it his way. Cain went to Burger King. He was going to have it his way. He didn't care what McDonald's wanted to have to say. He wanted it his way. And so Cain wanted God to be Burger King. And so the people of Babel did not care to reach God the way He said. Maybe it was time consuming. Maybe they had to change their own life. Maybe, I don't know, I'm just going to speculate a little bit here. Maybe I have rights. I am in the Tower of Babel, one of the greatest cities on the face of the earth. I have rights. This is owed to me. And so I don't have to serve God like He tells me to. That way is messy. It's barbaric. It's you know, 500 years ago. We don't have to do this anymore. Times have changed, Lord. We have sundials now. I just have to face north and I can tell what time it is. Times have changed. Get with it. I will reach the Lord the way we want to. You know what? He tells me to live a holy life. You know what? I kind of like unholy. So you know what we're going to do? We're going to build a tower and reach heaven. And God, when we come in the doors, there will be a gate, there will be a wall. But we have taken many gates and we have taken many walls. We can take heaven. I don't know. That's just me speculating. I think in a way that you probably don't. But they were getting to heaven. They were building a tower to get to heaven. And they were going to get there and sing before the throne room of God, "I did it my way." And I don't know what they thought. God would be like, "Well, you know what, Jesus? They did. They made it. What are we going to do now? Just let them come on in. Just let them come on in." No. So what happened was God destroyed the tower, confused their language, where we get Babel, the Tower of Babel, confusion, which we come back to Babylon, which the definition of Babylon is to be seated in confusion. So that whole city was seated in confusion. The whole city was nothing but confusion. And so in the city of confusion, there was a god called Mammon. And he was the god of wealth. Most theologians believe he was made out of silver. And I'll get to why that is. But mammon is a spirit. Look at your neighbor and say, mammon is a spirit. There are people who despise God unknowingly. I think there are people who were raised to despise God unknowingly. They were taught to serve money. They were taught to get it. And mammon has lied to them. Mammon had lies. Mammon, well, I'll tell you a lie. Because I've heard it. I've heard it. And godly people say it. Are you ready? I could just do a whole lot more for people. Oh, God. I could do a whole lot more for them if all I had was more money. I could reach them. I could pay off homes, mortgages. Marriages would be better because I could pay. I could pay for them to go out. That's all they really need. They just need more money to get together. Have a romantic night out. Go on vacation together. They can't even afford it. But if, Lord, just give me more money and I'll do it, Lord. Never, never when the people came to the disciples or Jesus, blind, lame, having any problems, they didn't come to Jesus and Jesus said, you know what? If you had more money, I could help you.
Right.
All you need is more money.
Right.
Hold on, hold on, hold on. Let's take up an offering for Judy right now because what will answer her need is more money. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. We have this offering. And we threw, you know what happened a lot of times when people got that mentality? They would throw all their gold in them. You know, a cow would come out. People of God did that. Children of Israel. Oh, thank you. Finally, somebody got it. The children of Israel. And that's what he told Moses when he came down. I didn't make it. I just threw it all in the fire. And a cow came out and we started worshiping it. That's what people will do when money is the answer. They will make it a god and they will worship it.
Right.
You don't think so? They will ignore their children. They will ignore their parents. They will ignore their spouses. They will ignore everything in life just to serve mammon. And mammon will try to take the place of God. It will tell you how you can do more, how you can live better. Now, will life be more comfortable for you? But yes, but can I tell you this too? When you get more money, when you get more wealth, you got to do a lot more to take care of it. And if you're the one who got it, you're going to have to keep it.
That's right.
And you're going to have to invest it. And you're going to have to learn about capital gains tax. And all of a sudden, you're in a new tax bracket. And you're trying to find out new ways to put it in different places. And then the bank only covers so much, so you got to have multiple bank accounts. I sure would love to try that out one day. But this is the deal. If money is the answer, that is the spirit of mammon. I sure could do a lot for the Lord. How about getting out and doing a lot for the Lord right where you are? How about telling people about Jesus right where you are? God never told nobody, you come back with more money because that's your answer. All you need to do is work harder, get more money into your hands, and that is the answer. No, God is the answer. And mammon will try to tell us that money is the answer when money has nothing to do with it. Can money help? Just as sure as grits or groceries, it can help. Money can help, but money is neutral. Money is neutral. And that's one of the ways we know that mammon is not, the definition is not money. Because money is neutral. It's what you do with it. Mammon is unrighteous because it is a spirit that is antichrist. It is antichrist. All right. Whew.
That's good.
I feel like I'm running a marathon this morning. So, the spirit of mammon will always try to convince us that money can take the place of God. That's the danger of prosperity teaching. Can I tell you, there's a lot of dangers of a lot of teachings.
Right.
Prosperity is of God, but the danger is that we rely more on the finances than we do God. God wants to bless you. God wants you to have good things. God wants you to have money in your account, being able to feed all yours and then some.
Right.
That's a godly thing. It's a godly thing to give your kids good things. God wants to give you good things, but when that becomes the answer, and that is the joy. Can I tell you something? You can give everything you could possibly, everything your kid says they want. You can give them everything, and you know what they're going to want the next day? Something different. Something more. We had a conversation with my daughter on the way here. We took her to a water park for her birthday. And you know what she did? On the way here, she says, I wish we could go back because there was something I couldn't do. I want to do it, Daddy. And I turn around and I'm like, oh, dear Lord, I know you ain't complaining. I know you're not complaining. And so you know what I made her do? I made her tell me things that she enjoyed. Tell me. No, I can't hear you speak up. Talk to me louder. No, I can't hear you. Say it again.
I enjoyed the water park and the slide.
Yes, you did. What else? So I told her that when you complain to me, I'm going to make you say good things. I am going to break you of this habit. You will say good things. You enjoyed a lot of things, and I understand you didn't get everything you wanted. Oh, but my Lord, welcome to life. I didn't tell her that, but I was thinking it. So, mammon is a spirit. Mammon is a spirit. And it comes from two words, which we will get into. So I just want to ask, the first question I asked was, what is mammon? The second question I'm going to ask, and I think we need to ask ourselves, is money evil? And we already said money is, because in Luke 16 it says unrighteous mammon, and money is neutral. 1 Timothy, you know, many Christians, you know, quote 1 Timothy a little bit, but they leave a word out. They'll say, money is the root of all evil. And that's not what it says. The love of money is the root of all evil. And do you know love of money is all one word? It's not three words in the Greek. It's one word. It's one word. And that word, are you ready for that word? Philarguria. Philarguria. I mean, these are getting really good. I think they should be like names of pasta dishes. I know, right? Today's special is a philarguria. It's delicious. It's from two words. Are you ready? It's from two Greek words. It's from philos. Oh, yeah, like you know that word. Oh, well, of course, it's right there, philos. And aguras. Aguras. Notice how great I roll my R's. Okay, never mind. That was a lame laugh from everybody. Now, the philos. Are you ready? Philos means a friend, to be friendly to one, wish him well. But this is where it comes from. In the Middle Eastern practices at one time, the groom would have a best man that did stuff for him well above what we do for ours. He, like the groom, would not even talk to the bride. Not even, because, you know, dating is like, 100 years old, 250 years old, 300 years old. The way that we know dating, of going and asking someone out, is very new in human advances, cultures. Thank you. This is new. It actually was arranged. In a lot of the cultures, and a lot of times you would see a lady that you liked, right? And so then you would offer money to the father. Man, I missed that one. I got two girls. That would have been, man, that would have been some good money right there.
Bring it back.
Yeah, we'd be like, I want at least a couple cattle. You know, like 10, 15 heads of cattle would be nice. Maybe a couple goats in there and some chickens. I mean, that would be nice. You know, we spend a lot of money on getting them to as fine as they are. And then somebody gets to come in and take everything and, you know, just say thank you. Like, we've worked years to get her here. You come in and take all the benefit. You should at least have to pay. That's ridiculous. But it's awesome. So in all of this, there was a best man, right, who would go and talk to the female, who would go and ask the man who wanted to marry her, wouldn't even talk to her normally until the wedding night. Wouldn't even say anything to her. And so you got a man that did everything, a best man who did everything for you, who served you in every way, shape, or form, and delivered all the messages. But the key was, at the end, he closed the ceremony. He was the one who said, you are now husband and wife, you may kiss your bride, in American culture, you know. But he would close the ceremony and be the one that unites the two in holy matrimony. He was the one. Now, so that's what the first word means. Uniting a friend who unites one in holy matrimony, bringing the key factor to bringing two people in covenant. The key factor to bringing two people in covenant, if you want to break it down. And then aguras, which means silver. Vessels made of silver, especially images of gods. So it all comes back from mammon. These two words are broke down into covenant with finances, with wealth. Basically, this word, love of money, is the word mammon. It is the Greek word that goes all the way back to the Aramaic word mammon. So we can say it this way. Are you ready? Let me grab. I wrote this down so I would say it exactly how I wrote it. Are you ready? So what we have here is marrying, coming into covenant with, serving wealth, giving your life for, greedy desires for the willingness to gain it unethically, and putting it above all. Mammon is the root of all evil. Money is neutral. So when we want to do everything to come into covenant and become one with money, we'll do whatever it takes to get it. And God says that is the root of all evil. Because you cannot serve mammon. You cannot serve wealth and serve God. Because one of them will have your heart. And you will begin to despise God when he says, give. I worked hard for this. I've given my life for this. I've worked for this company for years to get to where I am. And now you're just telling me to give chunks of it away, Lord? Mm-mm. I will continue to serve mammon. Sorry for using y'all as examples. But the reason I use people as examples is because I know they're not going to get mad at me. Number three, are you ready? What should I do with my money? What should I do with my money? If money is neutral and mammon is wealth, and let me say this too. Is it wrong that I want to acquire wealth? Nope. It's the way that you get it. And can I tell you this too? You can make money righteous. You can make it righteous. Well, how do I do that? I'm glad you ask. We honor God with our first fruits. And then we're good stewards with all that's left. We honor God with 10%. And then we are stewards of the 90. And not just crazy stewards, good stewards. We are good stewards with the left, what's left over. Now, can I tell you this? My father taught me from very early on. He said, son, 10% goes to God, 10% to yourself. Pay all your bills, and whatever you have left over, you can kind of do with what you want. But I would recommend putting more into your own savings and your own investments. He says, because nobody else is going to sow into you, so you better sow into you. You obey God, and you take care of yourself and be good stewards with what's left over. You'll be good with the money that God has entrusted you with. Now, I've heard people say, well, Pastor, you know, it's kind of interesting. People get upset about money, don't we? That working in the banking industry, it taught me that people are funny with money. They are funny with money. I'll tell you all kinds of things. I remember there was this one time I was in the drive. I always loved the drive-thru because it's fast, it's quick. They don't want to stay and, you know, just be there all day. They're not just there for the coffee and, you know, they're in and out. They want to go. And I like fast pace because it makes the day go by faster. So I was in the drive-thru and I always elected to be in the drive-thru. And this one time I transposed two numbers and gave the lady more than what I should have. And as I sent it out the tube, right, I noticed on my computer screen the amount, and I looked down and noticed that the check and the amount was wrong, right? So I just buzzed over, and she grabbed the tube before I could hit recall. And I said, excuse me, ma'am, the amount in there is wrong, and if you'll send it back, I'll correct it. And she goes, she realized right then that I gave her more. She looked over, and I buzzed back over. Ma'am, excuse me. If you'll send that back, I made a mistake. I will correct it. And she put her finger up one more time in my beautiful little face. And she counted it again. And she was confident that she had more money than what she was asking for, that I made a mistake. And I said, ma'am, if you'll send that back, I will correct it. The finger went up one more time. She counted again. Now she's absolutely positive. You know what she does? She puts that little thing back. And she drives off with it. Mm-hmm. Money makes people funny. Whoa. And I'm here like, ma'am, you are 2 years younger than Jesus. I'm thinking this, not saying it out loud. You are 2 years younger than Jesus. You're supposed to be kind. And that was not kind. No. And so, of course, I called my manager over and told him what happened. And they said, I'll take care of this. They went on the phone, called, and left on our voicemail. Hi, you just left our branch with the, you cashed your check, and the amount was wrong by this difference. We'd like you to know that we are deducting your account at this moment for that amount. If you have any questions, please call us. Have a good day. And in the background, I'm like, doing the running man. Doing the running man. They're like, and so, you know, it's just crazy. I remember just people were crazy about money. They would lose, nice people would lose their stuff about finances. And, you know, what is it? It's the spirit of mammon. We're not that crazy. I mean, we are so generous with things that we have in our house. We're so generous in giving, feeding, and doing all of that. But you, mammon, there is a spirit that's on money.
Oh, yeah.
Now, this what is on it is up to you. Now, you can take unrighteous mammon and make it righteous. How? We've already said it. You honor God with the first 10 and steward the rest. You steward the rest. Now, Luke chapter 16 and 10 says this. We've already read it. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is also unjust in much. What you do with money, your attitude toward money and how you handle it, it will leak through. I don't care how godly you try to act. If you're ungodly with money, it will leak through everywhere else in your life. Because you know what? When people are looking, you may be one way. But can I tell you something? People might be very generous and put together and all this, but when money rains down from the sky, you will see adults push little kids out of the way. But get out of here. You don't need that. You got years. You want to cause chaos? Throw a bunch of money up in the air. People all of a sudden will begin to act crazy. Why? Because they serve it. No, I'm not saying if you find money on the ground, you shouldn't pick it up. Pick it up. Put it in your pocket. I had somebody tell me one time, they found money on the ground. They go, Pastor, I feel so bad. I'm like, I don't give it here. I don't feel bad at all. But somebody lost it. I know, and I found it. Praise God. Now, I can tell you this. If it's in your husband's jar of money, you did not find lost money. That's his. I know. When you do the laundry and it came out of his pocket, it's his.
Oh, no.
I'm going to run away. I'm going to run away. But don't you be messing with me. I've been doing this all my life. Don't mess with my system. I think I heard someone shout mammon. What? Husbands, you better check those pockets because you ain't getting it back. You know, Eliana told me the other day. It's been a couple weeks ago. Actually, when Jesse was out at the women's conference, Eliana was with me and she looked at me and she said, Daddy, I need to tell you something. I'm like, okay, baby, what? She says, I've decided today I'm not going to steal from you anymore. I had a lot of thoughts going through my head, and they were all very loud, and they wanted to come out very loud, but I calmed myself, and I just looked at her and said, baby, I think that is a very wise decision that honors me and God. Thank you. I appreciate that. Do you want to know what I did? I went to all the places I put money, and I checked. I began to count, and I believe she was still in my quarters. She was still in my quarters. But thank the Lord has convicted her. And husbands, we're going to have to believe that God will convict our wives of that whole wash machine deal. Y'all are ridiculous. I love it. Husbands, start washing some laundry, I guess. Wash your own laundry. And then, you know, maybe you should clean her purse every once in a while. Like, baby, I buffed that leather purse for you. And just empty that pocketbook. No. What? Y'all don't like that? It's pretty much the same thing. All right. Men, we will have a special meeting just for men afterwards. Yeah, there we go. So true riches. Let's look at this. Verse 11. Oh, goodness. All right. Let's get back on track. We got to end this sooner or later. I know, Luke 16, we're having too much fun to end. Luke 16 and 12, and if ye have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? Now, verse 11, let's jump up to verse 11.
If therefore ye have not been faithful in unrighteous mammon, who will commit to you true riches?
What is true riches? We've already talked about this. What is true riches?
People.
Souls. People, their souls. That's true riches. God is saying, you want me to give you influence? You want me to give you a place of authority? You want to stand in a godly position in your church, in your family, in your workplace? You've got to be faithful with wealth. Because if you're not even faithful with wealth, I cannot trust you with true riches.
That's right.
I can't trust you with people if finances you don't even obey me in. Can I tell you something? Somebody asked me. They said, when your daughter gets to age of marrying or dating, I bet you won't even let the boy date her if they aren't tithers. I said, you preach so much about tithing, I bet you'll check the record. And I looked at him, I said, you dang Skippy, I will. I didn't even miss a beat, didn't even have to think about it. I will check whether or not they're tithers. And if they're not, you know what we're going to do? We're going to shut that down. We'll shut that door very quickly. You want to know why? Because if they are unfaithful with wealth, I will never trust them with my daughter.
That's right.
She is the true riches. And if he can't even handle finances the way God tells him to handle finances, I will not entrust him with my daughter. I will not. And men, we'll talk about Christian dating for kids at another time, because I got a lot of good thoughts on the process. People are true riches. Why would our Heavenly Father give us significance, give us influence and wealth if he can't trust us to steward it? We've got to be faithful in the least. And when we are faithful in the least, we can truly begin to oversee what really matters. And that's people. That is people. God gave his most precious gift for the very reason he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe, would be saved, would come into the family of God. He gave his most precious for most precious people and souls. Now, does God want you to have finances? Absolutely. He wants you to take care of yourself, kids. He wants you to be wise. But just like the widow with Elijah, God sent Elijah to the widow in a time of the greatest famine that they have known. And the thought comes up, why didn't God send him to the CEO, the wealthy man? Because the wealthy man didn't need Elijah. It wasn't about what Elijah needed. It was about what she needed.
Yes.
She had to get her finances in biblical order to receive a miracle from God. Malachi tells us, will you rob God in tithe and in offering? How? And you say, how do we rob? In tithe and offering. You do not hold a gun or a knife or a taser or a baseball bat, whatever you have been or seen in the movies with robbing somebody else. You don't strong arm anything out of the hands of God. You know how you rob the Lord? You rob him of an opportunity of blessing you. God wants to bless you. God wants to increase you. God wants to do and experience good things with you. And he wants you to get every area of your life in biblical order. In biblical order. And what he needs us to do is step into a place where we say, God, my life is yours. Do with it as you please. Lead me, guide me, direct me. I will listen, I will hear, and I will do as you instruct. And when we get there, God says, I can open the floodgates of heaven.
Yes.
Pour out a blessing so much that you can't even handle it all. Yes. And if you're just thinking finances, this is it. Our heart is not giving to get.
Yes.
I give, and it should, because I'll tell you, I believe mammon has creeped its way into the church, the spirit of mammon. If you will give, you will get. Praise the Lord. And all we're doing is giving voice to mammon. Is it true that we get? Yes, yes, yes. You sow, you reap a harvest.
Right.
Our heart is not to give just so we can get better things.
Right. Yes.
That's just that's like planting an apple tree. Apples come off the tree.
Right.
It's a side effect. It's just what happens.
Right.
But we give so we can be greater blessings.
Yes.
We give so that we can be givers.
Amen.
We give so we can manage the most precious thing on the face of the earth.
Yes.
And that is souls. We read a scripture that said, we unrighteous mammon. How do you make it righteous? You give your 10% and be good stewards of the rest. We make it righteous. But it said we have friends. When we get into the habitations, they'll thank us. Your giving, if Jesus tarries 1,000 years, which I believe is impossible, but you know, what do I know? You laughed a little too hard at that. But if God tarries another 1,000 years, your giving will not cease. It will continue. And there will be people who will thank you in heaven that were born 1,000 years after you because you were faithful right where you are. It does not go away. What you do today does not go away. Oh, let's bow our heads and go before the Lord in prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you.